Good morning and welcome to worship from Westwood Church on this third Sunday of Easter. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning as we gather together in online space for worship, becoming the body of Christ. As a congregation, we give thanks for and celebrate the diversity of people who are the church, and we give thanks for diversity of age and race, of sexual orientation and gender identity. We celebrate God's image in every one of us. Richer because of the diversity that gathers, we give thanks that you are part of who we are today. This morning, it's our privilege and joy to welcome Aaron Hawkins Smith as a guest preacher. Aaron is the Director of Connectional Ministries for our California Pacific Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. Before coming to this role last year, she served as the executive for our General Commission on Religion and Race, and has been a leader in the church, advocating for the gospel, for our work at overcoming racism, for the work of the church. She is one of the voices I have consistently appreciated for speaking with clarity and wisdom as we navigate who we are as a denomination and as we seek to become a church more fully celebrating of our diversities. I am grateful that she's with us and glad you have chosen to join us today. I hope that you'll participate in worship as much as you're ready, that you'll sing along with us and join us in prayer. You can print out a worship guide or download it to your device so that you have the words and music to join us in our worship. Now, I invite you to lift your heart to God. May the peace of Christ be with you.
The bread of life opens our eyes. The word of life opens our ears. The risen one shows us God's own brokenness, and by those wounds we are healed. Let us pray. Almighty God, your power makes the lame walk and the dead rise to new life. We give you thanks for the love poured into our world through Christ Jesus, who opened our minds to understand what you have made, whose appearance among his followers brings peace, and who creates faith through touch and taste. Show us Jesus even now, through the mystery of your threefold presence, one God, abiding now and forever. Amen. In Acts chapter 3, just before this passage, Peter with John has healed a man crippled from birth who was begging at a gate of the temple. The healed beggar is walking into the temple, jumping for joy and praising God. The onlookers were amazed and astonished. Our reading continues this story. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. The Easter story continues as Jesus appears among the disciples. We begin in verse 36. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they had seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Westwood Church. Thank you to Reverend Vetter for the invitation to be with you this morning. Our gospel lesson comes from Luke's gospel. It's a part of the Easter story. And in Luke's account of the Easter events, you may recall that women have gone to the tomb and found it empty. They've been met by angels who say, "Jesus is not here, but is risen." And they rush back to tell the others, who don't believe them and find it just an idle tale. Later that day, two disciples on their way to Emmaus happened to meet a stranger along the way who did not seem to know what had happened. So as they walked together, they told him all about Jesus, about who he was, about his arrest and his trial, and even his crucifixion. They shared the news that some of the women had that very day gone to the tomb and came back with this amazing report that the body was missing. And they'd seen some angels who told them that Jesus was alive. But it wasn't until they sat down and broke bread with the stranger that they recognized who it even was. It was Jesus, the risen Lord. The disciples run to share their experience with Peter, who, as it turns out, had also had a similar experience with Jesus. And as they're comparing stories and talking all about this, Jesus appears again. And when Jesus makes himself physically known to them, he says these words, "Peace be with you." This is a common phrase that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, often uses with the disciples. That, and "fear not" or "be not afraid." It's curious that these are the two phrases he repeats so often. The peace that Christ stands for is not so much a state of inner contentment, nor is it a peace that guarantees smooth sailing through life or having all of our wishes and desires granted. The kind of peace offered here is now opening the door to genuine, authentic relationship with God. The peace extended is that which connects us back to God and with each other. Peace, the reservoir of Christ that mitigates the negative, harmful, and unhealthy influences of fear. The peace that Christ offers is derived from the Hebrew concept of shalom, which means completeness and wholeness. Peace be to you. It's at this point of the story that I begin to feel uncomfortable. Peace for me has been hard to come by these days. The senseless loss of life due to racism and gun violence assaults the senses every day. The rancor and vitriol that characterize our social discourse from online spaces to the halls of government makes peace and confidence in our collective well-being hard to come by. It's difficult to feel whole when the color of your skin brands you as dangerous, angry, one to be feared and excluded. I wonder if this is how Jesus felt, standing before the disciples, his friends, his brothers, who could not see him for who he was. This propensity for the disciples to not recognize right what was in their faces is a quality that I fear still plagues us as modern day disciples. We are all children of the Most High God, despite race, gender identity, language, age, nationality, political affiliation, socioeconomic status. But despite our awareness of this and our awareness that Jesus left us with two simple commandments, to love your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself, we seem to consistently miss it. The God spark, the indwelling spirit that lies within all of creation. We refuse to recognize God is at work in every human being. Jesus said to the disciples, "See me, look at my hands and feet. Let me prove to you that it's me." Well, part of the reason that they couldn't recognize him was because they had written him off as dead, despite the fact that he told them he would rise, despite the fact that the tomb was empty. They simply couldn't accept any other narrative than that he was dead. Who do we write off? Create narratives, making it impossible for us to truly see them. We say, he was on drugs. She shouldn't have resisted arrest. They have a criminal record. Why was she wearing such revealing clothing? We write people off with such ease with our simplistic narratives that reduce their worthiness for safety and life and peace to singular acts, and then create expectations that they prove their humanity to us. But here's the thing. The Christian faith requires us to recognize and honor the God spark placed in every soul. That doesn't mean we excuse wrongdoing. It means that we don't write our own story about people and ignore God's story. It means recognizing that the racism and sexism and homophobia are like blinders that prevent us from seeing each other as God sees us. It means that valuing the preciousness of humanity is not something we should require people to earn, rather than something that has already been granted because we are all children of God. So when I read this story, the whole encounter again, things begin to lighten. I don't feel the knot in my stomach, kind of like what I imagine the prophet Jeremiah feeling when he declared, "They have treated the wounds of my people carelessly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Because I can see something with new eyes, it's shifting for me, this narrative. And I can see that in showing his hands and feet, Jesus is helping the disciples to understand all that has been accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection. And at the end of the time with the disciples, he says to them, "You are now witnesses to these things. You are the ones who've seen it with your own eyes. You're the ones who are supposed to go and tell others. You are who I'm depending on to change the world with this truth." His peace broke through their fear so that they could see the truth and use it to make a difference. The idea of being a witness, one who can testify to what they have seen, one who can reflect back the God spark that they observe in others, one who can affirm and hold a shared truth with another. All of these types of witnessing are needed now in the world more possibly than ever before. Jesus showed his scars to the disciples, so that they could be witnesses to the revolutionary act of love that had taken place and spread that truth everywhere they went. And they took their charge as witnesses seriously, because guess what? Here we are today retelling the story. And I believe that Jesus is still showing his scars in human flesh, in the scars of the oppressed, the hungry, the homeless, the abused, the lonely, the ignored, the mistreated. Jesus is showing his scars through the unwarranted death put on display for all to see. He is showing his scars in protests and in cries for better policies. He's showing his scars in the degradation of the earth. And so the question is, are you willing to be a witness? Are you willing to see that until all are free, the liberating work that Jesus did on the cross still requires our committed action? Are you willing to be a credible witness to the love of God in all places where hatred and division and exclusion are shown? It seems that our work as disciples is still not done. And so this week, when you see Jesus out in the world showing the scars in his hand and feet inside, my prayer will be that your response is, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as we've known.
A prayer from the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops. For an end to the violence perpetrated by harsh words, deadly weapons, or cold indifference, let us pray to the Lord. May our homes, our nation, and countries around the world become havens of peace. Let us pray to the Lord. For the grace to see every human being as a child of God, regardless of race, language, or culture, let us pray to the Lord. For the wisdom to receive the stories and experiences of those different from ourselves and to respond with respect, let us pray to the Lord. For the strength to teach our children how to resolve differences nonviolently and respectfully, and the courage to model that in our own behavior, let us pray to the Lord. For our faith community, that we may celebrate and welcome the diverse faces of Christ in our worship, ministries, and leaders, let us pray to the Lord. For our faith community, that we may respond boldly to the Holy Spirit's call to act to end violence and racism, let us pray to the Lord. For healing and justice for all those who have experienced violence and racism, let us pray to the Lord. For the protection of all first responders who risk their lives daily to ensure our safety, and for the fair and just policing that will promote peace and well-being in all our neighborhoods, let us pray to the Lord. For our public officials, that they will strive to work for fair education, adequate housing, and equal opportunities for all people, let us pray to the Lord. For our congregation, that we may cultivate, extend hospitality, and welcome the participation of peoples from all cultures, ethnicities, and backgrounds. Let us pray to the Lord. For the courage to have difficult conversations about racism, and for a better appreciation of how our words and actions, and even our silence, can impact our communities. Let us pray to the Lord. For solidarity in our global human family, that we may work together to protect those who are most vulnerable and most in need. Let us pray to the Lord. Please join me now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the victory, thou art.
Thank you for joining us for worship from Westwood Church. It is a gift to have you as a part of our community. And if you're not already connected to our community, I hope you'll tell us more about who you are. At westwoodumc.org/connect, you can share some information about who you are. You can join our weekly emailed newsletter list. You can share a prayer concern. On our website, you also have the opportunity to give tithes and offerings in support of the ministry of the church. I hope you'll consider doing so. We are always grateful for ways that people are able to go deeper in their life of faith and in their connection to this congregation, and I hope you will continue to engage. Everyone is welcome at our follow-up, which happens by Zoom at 11 o'clock directly after this service on Sunday. We'll continue the conversations that started this morning and connect with each other as well. Thank you for being with us today.
Receive now this benediction. Go forth this week and may the ever-present scars of Jesus in the world unsettle your heart, convict your spirit, and motivate you to acts of love, mercy, justice, and compassion. Amen.